powered by Righteous Media. Welcome to Independent Americans. Welcome to another special Ukraine War Report and episode 162. I'm your host, Paul Rykoff. Putin's Russian forces continue to target civilians, and Ukraine continues to stand strong. But more and more people are dying, and more children are dying. Now is a time to stay vigilant.
There are more than 300,000 people are still in Mariupol. They don't have food. They don't have water. Children, three children, I know it. It's really true. Three children died from dehydration. You know, in the 21st century, children are dying from dehydration in my city.
It's the 21st century. Children are dying from dehydration in my city. It's a brave woman named Victoria that had just escaped Mariupol, talking to Rachel Burden from the BBC. That's the reality of war in Ukraine right now. It's a reality continuing to unfold as you listen to this podcast. It's a reality that has shocked, horrified, and outraged people across the globe and across America. And across America, more and more people are becoming more than just shocked, horrified, and outraged. More and more people are becoming active. Like we used to say on this show a lot, if you're not angry, you're not paying attention. But being angry is never enough. Every one of us can turn our righteous anger into positive impact. And it's happening all around the globe. It's not enough, especially for the kids in Mariupol dying of dehydration right now and across Ukraine, but it's necessary. That action is necessary, especially now, because like never, ever before, stakes is high. Stakes is high, higher than ever, especially if you're in Ukraine. But even if you're not in Ukraine, but if you're in support of NATO, which is in support of Ukraine, you probably didn't even see this. Four U.S. Marines were killed this week when their Osprey aircraft crashed in a Norwegian town in the Arctic Circle during a NATO exercise. Four Marines, based at a Marine Corps Air Station New River in North Carolina, were killed on Friday when their MV-22 Osprey crashed under stormy weather conditions in northern Norway. The Marines, all with medium tilt-rotor squadron 261, were Captain Matthew Tomkowitz, age 27, of Fort Wayne, Indiana, Captain Ross Reynolds, 27, of Lowminster, Massachusetts, Gunnery Sergeant James Speedy, 30, of Cambridge, Ohio, and Corporal Jacob Moore, 24, of Catalysburg, Kentucky. The Marines were in Norway as part of a large biannual NATO exercise called Cold Response, and the Marine Corps is investigating the cause of the crash. And if you don't know, Ospreys, the aircraft, are no strangers to crashes. Three Marines were killed in 2017 when their Osprey crashed off Queensland, Australia. And in 2015, one Marine was killed and 21 were injured when a Marine Osprey caught fire after a hard landing in Hawaii. And now, in Norway, four U.S. Marines have been lost. It's a tragic reminder of how dangerous serving in the military is, and not just in direct combat. As always, if you want to do something to help or are personally impacted by the loss of these Marines, check out our friends at TAPS, the Tragedy Assistance Program for Survivors. But this crash is a tragic reminder that, even by extension, the war in Ukraine is our war. And it's also a reminder that our next war might be in the Arctic. Ask yourself if you've ever even considered it. But the war for territory and resources is real. And especially after Russia's increased isolation after Ukraine, the Arctic is more valuable to them than ever before. And the war with Russia for the world may not end in Ukraine. And the costs of war are not only limited to Ukraine. It's gotten so much bigger than just Ukraine. And everyone's using the hashtag, #StandWithUkraine. And that's great. But it's not just a time for us to stand and watch Ukrainians be brave. It's a time for Americans to be brave too. And Americans across this nation and around the world, independent Americans, are taking action. We spoke last episode to Matt Gallagher, an American veteran and renowned author who just finished training civilians to fight Russians in Lviv. And in this episode, we'll talk to another American veteran who has courageously turned his righteous anger into positive impact. Another veteran who's answered the call again and is right now on the ground in Kyiv. As the bombs drop, as the shells fall, as children starve, as many run out, some are running in. They're the true helpers. They're the true heroes. And in just a few minutes, you'll hear from another one. He's my old friend, one of my former colleagues, and a true personal hero, Quan Nguyen. This is war with no weapons, marching with no stepping, murder with no killing, ill in every direction. First, no secret, do the math, no people. Quan Nguyen has an amazing life journey and an amazing American success story. As a young boy, he fled Vietnam and lived in a refugee camp for over a year. He and his family found refuge in America, and Quan would grow up and go on to serve in the Marine Corps as an infantryman, combat tours in Iraq and Afghanistan. And after returning home from combat, he built his own small business and worked in technology for 2 decades. And he continued his life of service. He supported his fellow veterans as a deputy director for the Western Region for Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America, IAVA, the organization that I used to be the CEO of. He also worked with Combat Veterans Motorcycle Association and with other nonprofits. And years ago, when IAVA kicked off our groundbreaking national tour to combat suicide with the legendary rock band Linkin Park, it was Quan that led the way for us. For an entire national tour with Mike Shinoda and the late Chester Bennington and the band in dozens of cities, Quan worked with the crew to promote awareness, host veterans, share mental health resources, and save lives. Quan Nguyen is a leader of action and a true helper. And when the war in Ukraine started, the American combat veteran left his family in Utah and went to Ukraine to do what he could. He's put down his rifle, he's risking his life, and he's now helping children who are refugees from war like he once was himself. He's founded a new nonprofit, and he's transporting refugees to safety and delivering supplies to safe houses across Ukraine. Quan's an old friend and a colleague of mine, and a guy I respect so much, and he joined us for a session that we just recorded from inside Kyiv. As the city continues to await a Russian assault, Quan spoke to us as artillery rounds fired off behind him and air raid sirens and the threat of missile attacks swirled all around. It's a brave, riveting, inspiring conversation that's not like anything else you're going to hear in the American media. It's the kind of ground truth you can expect from independent Americans and righteous media. Back in 2014, I met Linkin Park's visionary MC, Mike Shinoda, in Los Angeles. And if you're a longtime listener of this show, you remember when Mike Shinoda joined us here on episode 68 in July of 2020. When I met Mike in LA, it was through one of his bodyguards, an old friend of mine named George, who had been a British Special Forces soldier. George hooked up the intro, and Mike and I met outside one of his recording studios, and we talked about war, we talked about loss, we talked about music, and we talked about struggle, and we talked about vets. And a few months later, we launched a campaign together and dropped the video for this song. In the wasteland of today, The song's called Wastelands, and the special video we did featured photographs submitted from IAVA member veterans all across the country. And Lincoln Park partnered with IAVA for something we called the Convoy to Combat Suicide. It was a national tour to raise awareness around the issue of veteran suicide and to issue a call to action to the American public to stand and help us lower the unacceptable suicide rate among a new generation of veterans. And Quan led that tour for IAVA and for Lincoln Park, alongside Mike Shinoda and Rob Borden, Brad Delson, Joe Hahn, and the legendary Chester Bennington, who we lost on July 20th, 2017, to suicide. We lost Chester, but his spirit lives on. It lives on in the music. It lives on in the fans around the world. It lives on in the fans that live in Ukraine. And it lives on in Quan Nguyen. It's a spirit that carries fans of Linkin Park's music all around the world now still. And it carries Quan now still too. Quan has never had an easy life. He was dealt a hard hand from birth. And it didn't break him. It hardened him. And for the rest of his life, he chose the hard path, an important path, a path of leadership. And 18 years to the month of the start of the Iraq War, Quan is on the front lines again, this time in Ukraine. Easy is over. It's the line from the Russian chess master Garry Kasparov that I've been repeating since the war began, because it's the truth. And for Quan Nguyen, easy was over the day he was born. And it's prepared him for this moment and an opportunity to make it a bit easier for others, others who are in the same place now that he was in 40 years ago. An unknown number of American veterans and civilians have heard the call and boldly volunteered to join the good fight in Ukraine. And they know that there are only hard choices left now. And we've covered it on this show since the war began. Wartime is here, not just for Ukraine, but for everybody who cares about freedom, liberty, and humanity. And now, more than any other time in our lifetime, now is a time for us to all stay vigilant. And it's a time for us to support the fight in whatever way we can, and to tell the stories of the fighters and the helpers who are answering the call. So we're going to continue to focus on it on this show until further notice. So here on Independent Americans, I will continue to bring you special Ukraine war reports. We'll keep bringing our unique focus on national security, military operations, foreign policy, activism, humanitarian work, all of it, to bring you more independent content to help you meet this moment, stay ahead of the curve, and stay vigilant. And we'll bring you inspiration. We'll continue to dig deeper to add light to contrast to heat, demand accountability, challenge the groupthink, and work harder to keep you ahead of the curve. We're not just talking about what's happening, we're talking about what's next. We adapt, improvise, and overcome, and find ways to take action and talk to people who are deep in the action. At the end of the video for Linkin Park's song, Castle of Glass, it's a video that powerfully shows the fate of an American service member who dies in combat and leaves a family behind. At the end of that video, there's a quote by Winston Churchill that says, "All the great things are simple, and many can be expressed in a single word: freedom, justice, honor, duty, mercy, hope." This is a time when those words are more important than any other time in recent memory. And those are words for each of us to consider every day as we watch the horror of Ukraine unfold. Freedom, justice, honor, duty, mercy, hope. And they're the words that Quan Nguyen has been living by his entire life. And as you'll hear in this podcast, they're the words keeping him warm on the ground in Kiev, Ukraine right now. Welcome to another critical injection of the ground truth. Welcome to a visit inside the battlegrounds of Ukraine. Welcome to Kyiv, March 2022. Welcome to a conversation with a true helper. Welcome to an episode about freedom, justice, honor, duty, mercy, hope. And most of all, hope. Welcome to another Ukraine War Report. Welcome to Independent Americans, episode 162. In the wastelands of today. In the wastelands of today. Ladies and gentlemen, independent Americans around the country, around the world, inside Ukraine, inside Russia, anywhere you can hear my voice. The war rages on inside Ukraine. The world is focused and this show is focused. And I'm going to continue to try to bring you authentic, real, powerful, important leaders from all angles of this conflict that will define our generation and much more. And the man joining us now is an old friend of mine, a personal hero, a former colleague, a guy who represents the best of what this country is all about. And I'm very happy that we're able to make this happen, given the circumstances that we'll talk more about in a second. But live from Kyiv, recorded from Kyiv, is my good friend, the great and powerful Quan Nguyen. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. Thanks, Paul, for having me on the show.
So we go way back, man. We go way back.
We do.
We've been colleagues for, I don't know, over a decade. You worked, worked together at IAVA.
Yes.
We'll get more into that. You were the lead for us on a suicide campaign. You were the lead for us on a tour with Linkin Park. but you, right? But right now, you're in Kyiv, and it's an honor to talk to you. I'm glad we were able to make this happen. We're on Zoom. You may have to drop off if there's an air raid or something else.
Right.
But let me just start by thanking you for being here and asking you the same question I ask everybody, but has a lot more power when I ask you right now. Where are you and how are you?
Yep. I am in Kyiv, Ukraine. I am doing well. I physically, I'm a little bit tired. Mentally, I love it. I'm charged. Because I just feel that what I'm doing is therapeutic instead of breaking stuff, blowing stuff up. I get to rebuild stuff. And I didn't realize how therapeutic it was until, you know, until I've been doing it. So, yeah, I feel great, Paul.
Just because I want to pull this apart in a lot of different ways. Have you ever felt like this before? I mean, we've talked with Matt Gallagher and others
about
how this feels like the fight of our time and maybe even more pure in its focus than what we experienced in Iraq and Afghanistan. You did tours in Iraq and Afghanistan. You were a Marine infantry soldier. Mm-hmm. Does this feel different, even more just than anything you've been a part of?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I would have to say, yes, I was thinking about what we were doing with Linkin Park. It felt amazing back then. We were helping our community. And I think this one, you know, I could change my mind, but right now it feels even better because I don't know these people. It's complete strangers. So I think that's what makes it feel a lot better. And I hope when I say that, I don't, or people don't think that I'm disparaging our veterans community. That's not it. It's just, it's a different feeling and I'm trying to explain it and I don't know if I can do it justice or not.
I think you definitely can. Let's walk it back, Quan. You know, you were, where were you living before you got to Kyiv and explain to folks, how this happened? You know, how did you go from your home to Kyiv in a matter of weeks? Take us through that journey if you can, please.
Yes. So I've been living in a suburb of Salt Lake City, Utah for about the past 7 or 8 years. And leading up to Russia invading Ukraine, a good friend of mine I'd served with, he is an expat living in Ukraine. He's been living in Ukraine since 2008 and know him very well, former Special Forces guy. Use his GI Bill to go and be an executive chef. He's owned a few restaurants all over the world and just really nice guy. He's I've never heard him yell. that's the type of guy that he is. And as much as I think I'm a decent person, I yell. Unfortunately, I lose my temper. And so knowing him throughout these years and knowing his demeanor, talking to him leading up and then during the invasion, after Russia invaded, I could feel that he was definitely getting beat up. He was doing it by himself. So what he was doing was he used to live in Kyiv, and then he moved to Lviv October last year, and it was pure spidey senses. He felt there was a shift going on, and he figured, you know what, I'm going to move to Lviv. And not only that, but it's a beautiful town. My gosh, I absolutely love it. And so he started having friends from Kyiv who wanted to get out of the country, stay at his house. So it just started out as friends and family. And then it just turned into complete strangers, new people by word of mouth. And so every time I'm talking to him, I've got him on speakerphone and my wife is hearing all the conversations. And one day I basically looked at her and I guess I must have had some kind of puppy eyes because she said, I know what you want to do. Go ahead. And I can't believe that she is actually letting me do this. Because there are times when I think about this and I'm thinking, wait a second, what person in their right mind is going to let their husband go overseas? I don't have a weapon except my mind, my street smarts, my wits, and help complete strangers. But Amy is an amazing person. So that's what I'm doing here.
So take me through that. You got a buddy who's on the ground in Ukraine. Your wife gives you the okay. You're not there formally through, the diplomatic channels, which is how it sounds like a lot of folks, first responders, if you will, right? This is kind of the digital Dunkirk that we saw in Afghanistan, this network of vets, especially.
Oh, my gosh.
Right?
Yeah.
That many of them, I think it's important. Many of them are on the humanitarian front. We know that. Yep. We know groups like Team Rubicon, but we also know there's a servant spirit in our community. So how did you logistically, you get on a plane in Salt Lake City and then take us through how long that takes and how you eventually got to Kyiv?
Right. So there was a lot of planning. I didn't just pick up my bags and go. I knew that I asked Rob what they needed. So obviously during the first days, it was medical supplies, IFAX. So I started a nonprofit, 501c3. I put it out there asking for donations, obviously put my own money into it, grabbed a bunch of medical supplies and anything I can think of. And, but I, you know, we talked about a lot of different things prior to, and the big question was, why am I going there? Am I going to provide any impact or am I taking up space? Because there's a lot of do-gooders, but if I am just jamming up the logistics when important people, for example, I think medics who are coming over here are definitely more important than me. There was a little bit of back and forth, and obviously there was an option for me to just go to the border. And at some point we realized that, okay, I've got some skills from my background that I can definitely make an impact. So I took a flight to Krakow, and then from Krakow, took the bus to Shemeshiel. And then from then on, I didn't have a way in. I just asked around and got onto this bus. And even the way leading up to it, at one point, I think I was texting my friends like, this feels like part of Taken. This guy's asking me to come into his warehouse. I'm the only one here. So here's my location. And if you don't hear from me, you know my last location. And got onto the bus and they drove across. So the bus that I got onto, they were ferrying Ukrainian refugees into Poland. And then they would turn around and go back. And so I basically got on that bus. I paid them a couple hundred bucks to do it. It was legitimate. I got my papers checked, everything stamped, whatnot. And then I come in the middle of the night in Lviv and find my buddy's apartment, and we go from there.
Wow. Now, I want to go deeper into what you guys are doing there, but I want to go back to the why, because I asked Matt Gallagher this question in the last episode. It was really powerful. And I think some folks understand it. Some folks don't. You know, I feel a pull. I think a lot of us who've been in the service or in the humanitarian space feel a pull. But Quan, for you, why are you there and why did you go?
Yeah, I think there's a deeper level for me. I think you know that I was born in Vietnam in Saigon in 72. I saw the fall of Saigon. I remember getting shelled, getting rocketed, tanks rolling through the streets. I remember escaping Vietnam, at least trying twice. First time we didn't succeed, and our boat was stranded out there. My dad was put in a re-education camp. Eventually we did succeed, but we were in refugee camps for a while, almost a year. And I remember how horrible the conditions were, rats running around. And I remember how kind the people were at this one refugee camp. It was like in the middle of a park, but it was surrounded, I guess like a moat, but it was more like the way that they distribute water. And I remember the residents would ride their bicycles by and throw over food. And I just, so for me, I've always had empathy for refugees. This one is a no-brainer for me. What happened in Afghanistan with our interpreters and our friends, I donated like anybody. But I did have an opportunity to go. I was asked by some people because I do know that area well, but I didn't. So I felt guilty. So I think that's the why is, the sense, the pull of what we do. But being a refugee, I can only imagine. So talking to these people, it almost makes me think of the journey that my family and I went through, except that we were living in a communist country. So going from one city to the next, you actually had to split up the family because back then they worried about the brain drain. After a while, they didn't care, just like Cuba, right? And so from going from one city to the next, you had to check into the police station. So if you were there as a family, they could figure out like, yeah, you're trying to escape. But if you split the family unit up, which is what we did. All we had was whatever bag that we had. So it brings memories back, which is interesting because I may not remember what I had for dinner two nights ago, but there are certain parts in my childhood that just are seared for whatever reason. So that's the why.
Mm. Thank you for sharing that. I think it's so important. I was going to ask you about this amazing journey you've had, Quan, where you've been, a refugee yourself, and now you're helping another generation of refugees.
Yeah, full circle.
You've been on the front lines of many fights. And in the Marine Corps, you were an infantry guy, right? So you know what it's like to kick in doors. You know what it's like to carry a weapon. You know what it's like to fire weapons, right? And be fired at. Can you talk about why you chose to do what you're doing now as a humanitarian? Some vets are picking up guns and going in and looking for that part of the fight. You're doing something that is really humble and I think important. But can you talk about why you made the choice to go there as a humanitarian and not as a soldier?
Yes. I think if I weren't married, if I was younger, as you know, I'm about to pick up my AARP card here pretty soon.
You don't look like it, man. You don't look like it. I'm drinking what you're drinking. You know that. We've talked about this before. Yeah, yeah. You look a lot younger than you are.
I think that sense of excitement never goes away. Having said that, I did practice what I preach coming back and through my work with your organization, IAVA, which is get therapy, talk about it. And in talking it through, you're able to work some things out. So for that adrenaline part, I ride my motorcycle, I skydive. So it takes care of that. But I did think about, should I join the Legion, or should I do this? And at the end of the day, I have a family. I've picked up a weapon. I've been there, although I think if I did pick up a weapon, you know, the justification is there. It's righteous. But what I can offer is, why not utilize that part of it? And that's what I thought. And I even, you know, we talked this through, my wife and even with my friend, which is, okay, sure, you come over here. Yeah, I'm always looking at things like a chess game. Got to be a couple steps ahead. Mm-hmm. Somebody's going to ask about my background. And then I'm sure there's going to be somebody that may ask, hey, well, if that's the case, why don't you pick up a weapon for us, et cetera. And actually I have, and I've turned it down because what I'm doing and the feeling that I get from it validates what I thought I was here to do, which is repair stuff, not, you know, take another life. I'll defend myself and my loved ones here and my friends. Don't get me wrong, but I'm not carrying a weapon. All I'm doing is trying to do what I can on the humanitarian side. Mm.
Blessed be the peacemakers, man. You know, it's come full circle, and now you're over there. Now, a huge part of our work together was mental health. I mean, you were ahead of the curve in helping us explain the importance of mental health and mental health injury. We did a huge campaign with Linkin Park. And for folks who don't know, you were the lead guy. You were like the head of our crew on, I don't know how many dozens of cities where we'd have veterans come out. They'd be on stage. They'd do meet and greets with Chester and Mike and the whole crew. And then we tragically lost Chester to suicide. Yeah. And I bring this up because you and I know that when the war ends, you know, the pain really begins. And the part of this that I don't think Americans fully understand, unless they've been in combat or around combat, is the mental health toll. So knowing what you know and being where you've been, can you talk about the mental health environment that you're in right now in Kyiv, and in particular for the kids? I don't think we're talking about this enough because the human cost is going to be tremendous. But can you put us in your shoes over there and give us a sense of what that environment is like?
Yeah. So part of what we do is all grassroots. It's through word of mouth, and we talk to a lot of people, and there have been some people that have said that, you know, there are students that say, geez, instead of worrying about my exam, I have to worry about, am I gonna make it tomorrow? And then I've got the parents who are saying, I have to leave my husband behind, I have to leave my parents behind. And then today was a perfect example. Bought some groceries for some family, and the woman, you know, talked about her daughter. In the beginning, they would go down to the bomb shelter, but after a while, the kids just could not handle that, so they just stayed in their apartment and they took a gamble. So that's the kind of mental environment that they're going through, and there isn't a way for these folks to get it. Having said that, I have been contacted by some folks who do telemedicine, and hopefully I can look into that. But supposedly it's available to any of the refugees. But yeah, I think that's a huge part. You know, you and I are used to it. The shelling, when we have air raid sirens, everybody's running. I just kind of lackadaisically gaggle and find someplace. And then when something is, you know, I can differentiate between outgoing versus incoming, and people ask me how I know that. And then I can tell how far it is. And I get that, well, it sounds a lot closer. Well, let me explain acoustics and why that is the case. And, yeah, but this is their first experience in 2021, which is crazy. So yeah, that's the mental environment.
I think it's so important, and you've been telling these stories too. And I think Americans, can understand and empathize, but when they hear it through American eyes, it's almost like a translation. And I think having you and Matt and others on the ground there is important. Having your voices out in the media is even more important because you're humanizing it. You know, this is a really, it's funny the things you remember about combat, right? And a couple of weeks ago, we had a big ice storm up where I live and everybody had generators going. And my kids could hear the generators. and I said to my boys, I said, guys, I remember hearing generators for a year because nobody in Iraq had power and generators were everywhere. And I just got used to that sound. And it took me down a path of explaining to them the kind of grating sound of generators that you almost forgot about. Can you talk about, you are a well-trained, highly trained, multiple combat tour Marine. Part of what I think is helpful in times like this is that hope and connection. There is a connection among that community that's like nothing we've ever seen. There's a spirit, right? A fight that I've never seen and you're on the ground with. But can you talk about the fighting spirit and what you're seeing on the ground there that the news may not be showing?
Yeah, that's I don't know if you can capture that because it's not just soldiers. It's students who... they don't want to give up. And they're going to stay here. They're not going to leave the country. And if they need to pick up a weapon, they will. Definitely when you talk to the soldiers, you've got your regular infantry, then you also have your territorial defense. And then you also have another layer behind that, basically the last line of defense, which they call the volunteer territorial defense. And it just sounds like what it is. It's lawyers, doctors, professors who are willing to pick up a weapon and they're being trained by the local military folks. But they, and I've had a I can hear rolling thunder there in the background. That's probably outside the city. But
hold on, Quan, can you tell us what you're hearing? Because folks can't hear. Explain what you're hearing now.
Yeah, I believe that was outgoing artillery, but it's definitely way out of the city. So you hear that every now and then. And I'm high up enough where I can definitely hear it. So I've had a chance to watch them train and it's absolutely amazing. I saw a group after only 2 weeks move, communicate like I would expect first year infantry. And when you listen to them and it's amazing. They're debriefing. It just blows my mind. And so, yeah, that's, that's the spirit of the local population.
Quan, for folks that are listening, you should definitely watch the video because you can see Quan's backdrop is what looks like a couple of apartment buildings behind you. Mm-hmm. And I can't look at that and not imagine other cities in Ukraine that have been annihilated. Buildings like that being shelled. You were on Fox News a couple of days ago and you were in a bunker or near a bunker. You had an air raid go off before or during it.
I did.
Can you talk about what your day to day has been like? You know, where exactly are you right now? It looks like you're in an apartment building, but I know you're going in and out of bomb shelters. You're going in and out of homes. And talk about what you're doing with this new nonprofit that you've created.
Yeah. It's like I was saying on that interview, day to day is, it's mundane. I'm grocery shopping. There it is. Rolling thunder again. I am cleaning up. I think of it as like, I can smell to the burning. I'm assuming there's a fire going on somewhere. But yeah, I can smell that. And it's
so you're looking over your shoulder out the window. You got you're looking. Do you know which direction you're looking? Is it west or east? Or you're looking out to the edge of the city, basically, it looks like over your shoulder. So when you
say rolling to the city.
Yeah. So when you say rolling thunder, you're hearing artillery cannons firing out.
Yep.
And are you hearing much incoming too, or seeing any enemy aircraft or anything in your viewpoint? Or is that beyond the horizon where you can see so far?
Yeah, not today, but definitely yesterday. I think that was the closest explosion to the point where I thought, yeah, you know what? I'm going to put on my my plate carrier and actually go down to the bunker. Most of the time for me, and again, maybe I shouldn't be saying this because my wife will probably scream at me, but it's like, okay, here's another one. It's somewhere nearby. I'll just make sure that I get away from the windows, and that's about it. But yeah, the other day was a close one. Yeah.
But your experience is so valuable, and in so many ways, you know, if you're in a bomb shelter with a bunch of civilians and they do or mm-hmm. don't know who you are, you're in some ways you're so much more valuable, right? Than if you're on the front line with a bunch of grunts. I mean, you're a refugee who's been a Marine who could be in a bunker with kids. And you might be the only trained fighter in that that whole bunker. And your humility is so amazing, dude, because I've known you for a long time. You're always the guy who's willing to do the grunt work, doing what needs to be done. You did that for years when we worked together. So many times you'd do whatever it took to get the job done and to support the mission. And so now when you say, you know, you're cleaning up your grocery shop and like that's what needs to get done, right? Especially for folks that are trapped there. And this nonprofit you set up, can you explain the name of it? It's called Task Force 824, right? And it's taskforce824.org. Can you explain why you named it that and what you guys are doing?
Yeah, so basically we kind of took a page out of Task Force Pineapple. 824 refers to the Day of Independence for our Ukraine, 1991, from the Soviet Union. And I thought that was you know, thinking about the name of the organization, did I want to make it like the name that would be used for anything? And I said, no, I want to make sure that it is very specific to this situation. And also it honors their independence. Because if you think about it, 1994, they agreed to turn all their nuclear weapons to Russia. And the irony now is, Russians were supposed to, from my understanding, please correct me, to provide protection. So that's why I named it Task Force 824 for that specific reason.
Quan, there's a lot of talk in the U.S. right now about whether or not we can do more. And there's a call for a no-fly zone. There's Zelensky, I don't know if you see Zelensky's addresses every day or the people see them where
you
are.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he's been calling out to the world to do more. They've got stingers. They've got javelins. He wants a no-fly zone. He wants more.
Yeah.
You know, you've represented veterans at the highest levels of government. I think you've been to the White House with us or definitely in Congress.
I was.
On the Hill, right? We met with the First Lady and other people over the years. If you had Joe Biden's ear, what would you tell him?
Yeah, I would say we should do everything that we can to stop this war. Having said that, I'm pragmatic. I know that there's a chance that whatever we do could cause, who knows what the state of mind Putin's in, but I think about at least the refugee corridors. We should find a way to protect that because there's no reason. I understand that one man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter, but there's no way in heck that you can explain to me or rationalize why you would not let civilians leave, why you would fire on civilians. I'm sorry. As open-minded as I can. So in answer to your question, whatever, if President Biden was in front of me and I was asked what we could do, I would say do anything. And it's interesting because no matter where I go, in the Middle East, here, America is looked at as the conscience for the world. And the fact that we can't do anything is sad. It's embarrassing. So, and you know, I don't want to get into politics because that's not what I'm about. And I want to focus on the humanitarian side. But yeah, there's got to be a way we can protect civilians. So
Thank you for that. I think, you know, there's a power that I think Biden is underestimating something. And this is me speaking. I think there are people who are in America who are willing to die for this, who are willing to shed their blood for this, who consider it a righteous cause. We called this company Righteous Media a long time ago, and now it's kind of come full circle. But Matt Gallagher was willing to die for this. You're there right now. I mean, you were willing to die for this cause. I think it's a gut check moment for America where, you know, more engagement doesn't have to result in a nuke strike by Putin. But there is a feeling that we are willing to fight and die for this because it's about so much more than Ukraine. Do you feel that same thing? I mean, you're there right now. I mean, I haven't asked you. It's assumed, but you're willing to die for this cause.
Yeah. It's just like I said in my interview, and anybody, any veteran, and the veterans who have reached out to me, I slow them down because I understand the excitement of it all, wanting to be, but I say, you got to think about this. You got to think worst case scenario, you can be captured. And if you're captured, you could be used as propaganda, or you could just literally die. I mean, look at that. Like as I was waiting for that interview on Fox, they talked about a bomb shelter that took a direct hit and killed all the kids. You know, so no matter where you are, if it's your time, it's your time. So yeah, it's I'm not looking to die. Don't get me wrong. I have plenty of ski runs to do, airplanes to jump out of, motorcycle rides to go on, you name it. But yeah, it's it is. It's just I can't explain why I would be willing to do that when I've got family, kids. I try. It's just that there sometimes it's something that's greater than you. And, you know, at one point we were talking, I know this may sound crazy, but at one point there was talk of, okay, well, maybe if we do get captured, that's fine. I mean, what's the worst they're going to do? Slap us around? You know, most of us have been to Sears school and we're going to be used as political pawns. Great. At least that way. This was before the government's, the United States government's involvement or a little bit more involvement. We were thinking, yeah, maybe that'll shine the light on the situation. But I think I'm glad that we walked away from that one, thinking how stupid that was. But I mean, it is a possibility. You never know. There's sympathizers running around. They've caught a few here in Kyiv throughout. So, you know, it's a risk that we take.
And I think you're being so candid, man. I'm so grateful for that because, you know, when you've been in combat, when you've been in conflict, whether it's as a civilian or a soldier, you know, you have these kinds of conversations, right? You have conversations about what if this happens? What would we do if this happens? And for you, it's a reality, right? So it's actually scenario planning. It's not just imagination fantasy. You're there. No. You have to think through multiple scenarios. So let me ask you, What do the people need there now? What do you need? What folks who are listening that want to help, what can they do to help you and the people you're serving?
What the people need is normal, everyday things. If you can think about medication, baby food, baby supply, diapers, feminine products, anything that you can think of a family that goes through and needs, like today, I think I posted that picture, flour, some diapers, socks, anything. But I would say medical supplies, medication. We're trying to reach out to the pharmaceuticals and hoping that they'll work something out. Trying to think what else.
And Quan, one thing you said in an earlier interview, and we got a little bit of a chop there, which if there was ever an interview where you would understand technical difficulties, this is going to be one of them, right? But you said something that, and I remember this from IAVA, right? When we were working, we'd say, oh, you know, vets need, you know, housing, right? Then somebody would send a bunch of shingles. Right. And it's like, I can't do anything with shingles, right? In the same way, you can't do anything with like a jar of baby food, right? Somebody Amazoning you a jar of baby. But what you guys need is money, right? You're on the ground. You need money, right? The old saying, like send lawyers, guns, and money. Like you need you need money. And folks can donate at TF824, TFA24, right?
.org.
And that gives you money to be able to put it into play in the field out there. Right. Don't bother, you know, sending Quan a bunch of fucking Amazon boxes right now, because that's not what he needs. Right. Quan needs cash so he could go out and get what he needs. And also, we got to empower leaders like you that are on the ground, that are doing the things that our government can't do, won't do, you know, might not have the dexterity to do. Quan, let me ask you, you know, I hope you'll stick around for a couple more minutes for our Patreon members that have helped us keep this machine going. We'll ask you some more fun questions to give you a laugh and also help folks in our Patreon community get to know you a little better, because you're an incredible leader. I've known you for a long time. You're a man of honor. I love the shit out of you, man. You know that, I hope. You know,
after
all we've been through.
Vice versa,
How long are you going to stay, man? How long are you going to stay, and what happens next? What happens next?
Yeah. I can't stay here forever. I know that at some point I've got to go back. And I think when I do go back, I can be a voice again, shine the light on here and possibly return. What I'm trying to do is set up a network that empowers the local people, so that when I'm not here, and that's why we went into Kyiv, was to try to figure out, okay, who are some of the volunteers? And there's plenty of people here, locals. That's basically what we want to do. But that's basically the long-term goal, is to have these different areas, geographical areas, where we can coordinate. Because originally, when this thing started, it was all out of Lviv, which is fine. But I think sometimes you need to be boots on the ground and find out what's going on. And going back to what you're saying about the money, we've thought about, we've done the math on all the things that we could get shipped here. It doesn't make sense. So I basically turned around and asked people for money, because what I can do is go and put that money back into the community. Whether I'm, you know, grabbing bread from a bread maker. And today was a perfect example. I had to, I knew that some families needed groceries. So I went to the ATM, pulled it out. And luckily I was able to get the local currency, and it was perfect. But you're right. Empower the people who are on the ground to make those decisions. And I think about when back in the States with the nonprofits that I'm involved with. And one of them is CVMA, it's Combat Veterans Motorcycle Association. I love the fact that we've had people come through Utah, and they've reached out to the other VSOs. I won't say which ones. And the response these veterans in need get are, well, I've got to fill out this paperwork. Mm-hmm. It's going to take a few days, but they don't have a few days. They're trying to cross the country to do something, to get work, to interview. So we're able to, at our level, give them money or out of pocket and then get refunded. So I think you're absolutely right. Trust the people on the ground, on the front line.
Well, especially experienced, thoughtful planners and people who are, you know, you've been all around the world. You've been through a lot of shit. You know, you're the guy that if my family was back in, you know, Kyiv and I was on the front line, I'd want you in the bunker with my kids and my family and my parents, you know? Quan, you know, the attack, a full attack, a broader attack on Kyiv could come any minute now, any day now, right? They've been able to hold them off so far, but it feels like that great fight is imminent. We are, of course, rooting and trying to support Ukraine in their win, which is now, I think, more realistic than most people imagined. There's going to come a point where you can't leave that city. Are you going to stay? And if that comes in the next 24, 48 hours, are you going to stay and fight and do what you can? Or what are you going to do, man?
Yeah, that's a scenario that I play through. technically I should be leaving so I can get back to my family. Hopefully my wife catches that part. But I don't know. Honestly, I've thought about that day in and day out. But I do know this, that I have more of an impact getting the logistics out, helping people. And at the same time, worst case scenario, like I said, if I am quote unquote detained, it's going to shine a light. Here's an American citizen, passport holder, combat veteran. They're going to spin the heck out of who I am. And I think you know where that's going. But man, at least the light will be still here. So if that's the case, I would prefer not to. But worst case scenario, so that way I'm not disappointed. I'm not freaking out if all avenues of escape are cut off. Then it's like, oh, okay, all right, here's next phase of the operation. All right.
There's the old saying, I think somebody said to me, I'm perfectly willing to die for my country, but I'd much rather have my enemy die for his. Right. Yes. And you are a light, man. And I just want to give you the mic for one last piece here. Anything you want to share, anything you feel like you haven't been able to say, in the other, you haven't done much media yet, but this is a place where we don't have Viagra commercials,
right.
Anything that you want to say that you want to make sure folks hear before we wrap this up.
Yeah. Don't forget about Ukraine. Don't forget about these people, because they're doing what we would do if our homeland was attacked. Just don't forget about them. Don't let our leaders forget about them. Mm. I think that's the important part. That's it. Don't forget about these people.
Kwan, you are a light. You are everything that's great about America and about the West.
Thank you.
And your personal journey is the fucking stuff of movies, man. You're a real inspiration, a hero to me and to my family and to anyone who's known you.
Thank you.
You've touched so many lives, throughout your life. And I know in many ways it's just getting started. So I am humbled that you took this time to join us. I am inspired by what you do. I am grateful that you're there. And just love the shit out of you, man. And sending
Thanks.
You and your
Appreciate
team
this.
And people around you all the yep. support we can. I hope
awesome.
You'll stay in touch. We'll keep folks updated
oh,
and send
definitely.
As much support yep. as we can. Until then, when we get back, we'll have a Linkin Park concert. Maybe there'll be a Linkin Park concert in Kyiv. That would be pretty fucking awesome.
Oh, there you go. Yes, I think Chester would approve of that, definitely.
We appreciate you very much, my friend. Thank you for all you do and yep. stay vigilant. Stay safe.
Thank you, Paul.
That's Kwan Nguyen. There he is, a true hero. And if we pull off that Linkin Park concert in Kyiv, or maybe even before that to support Ukraine, you are all invited. And you're all invited to support Kwan and his team at Task Force 824. Check them out online. It's tf824.org. That's Tango Foxtrot, and the number's 824.org. You can donate. You can spread the word. You can support Kwan and this fearless team on the ground right now. He represents the very best of what America is all about. And he's another true helper.
Always look for the helpers. There will always be helpers. Even just on the sidelines. Because if you look for the helpers, you'll know that there's hope.
In this moment of crisis, people are stepping up to help. And I have a quick update for you about a helper that we talked about recently on this show. In a deep dive on episode 60 with Jason Dempsey, we talked about my friend Brent Runeau. The 50-year-old filmmaker was tragically killed when Russian soldiers opened fire on a car he was riding in. He was in Ukraine filming refugees fleeing the area. I told you about his story. And this week, Brent is finally home. I spoke to his brother Craig today. Brent's been flown back to his home in Arkansas, and he received a true hero's welcome, as he should. His body was escorted from Pulaski County Sheriff's Office in Little Rock by the police department and by the Combat Veterans Association. His services will be on Friday and Saturday. The visitation will be held between 5 and 7 p.m. on Friday, March 25th, at the Great Hall Gym at Pulaski Heights United Methodist Church. And the families asked, instead of flowers, that donations be made to the Brent Renaud Journalism Foundation. Brent's family has now created the Brent Renaud Journalism Foundation to honor his legacy of storytelling through journalism. The foundation is a nonprofit with a mission of providing scholarships for aspiring journalists. So please support it and share. I'll link it in the show notes, and you can find it at independentamericans.us. There's also legislation in the works. There are two members of Congress that have stepped up to formally honor journalists who've been injured or killed since Russia invaded Ukraine. Representative Sherry Bustos, a Democrat from Illinois, and Representative Ashley Hinson, a Republican from Iowa, are both former journalists. And they introduced legislation this week to honor journalists working in the region and to recognize those that have been killed. A number of journalists have been shot at, beaten, and jailed while covering the conflict and the protests. Russian forces are harassing, detaining, and killing journalists working in Ukraine. This new legislation will bring attention to their plight and will focus Congress on their courage. Congresswoman Bustos said, "An open and free press is one of the world's most effective weapons in the fight against tyranny. And the courageous journalists and media who have chosen and continue to choose freedom over their own safety deserve our deepest gratitude and respect." She's right, and I appreciate her leadership. I got a call from her today, and she updated me that the bill has over 90 co-sponsors. This is a nonpartisan bill, and everybody should support it. So check the link in the show notes, call your representative, and if they're not on board, ask them why the hell not. Brent Renaud was a true helper, and the world is now finally learning his story, and his family, true to form, is turning the pain of his loss into a way to help others. That's what I mean when I say look for the helpers. And on social media, check for the hashtag #LookForTheHelpers and share yours. I'll continue to share stories of helpers who are stepping up to meet this moment in Ukraine and beyond. So check us out. And when you're on social, you can, of course, play guest to guest every Wednesday. I will post a mysterious picture of the guest, and you have to guess who it is. This week, I posted a picture of Quan Nguyen with Sebastian Younger, an incredible guest we've had on this show before, and another true American hero, another journalist who's been intrepid in his leadership on behalf of journalism and freedom and America. You can check out that episode with Sebastian Younger. It was a huge hit. It was episode 116 from May 27th of 2021. There's also video, of course, online. You can find it all at independentamericans.us. You can also see video of my conversation with Quan there. You can see what it's like inside Kyiv. And I'll also post a few videos from those concerts that Quan did with Linkin Park. You can see what Quan did, and you can hear from Chester and from Mike and from the guys in Linkin Park. It was critically important, and it will be important again now. Music is an escape. The video is a reminder, and the messages are a rally cry. You can see that video and every single conversation we've had on this show at independentamericans.us. You can also get Independent Americans gear, you can spread the word, and you can support this show. You can also do that by joining our powerful Patreon community. Patrons, our Patreon community is the group of people that donate just a couple bucks or whatever they can to support this show. You are our most valuable, most dedicated, most important sponsors, and I thank all of you. Shout out to our newest members, especially to L.M. Freer. LM, welcome to the Patreon community. You are now among the vigilant, the very vigilant, and the most vigilant. You will get a special extended conversation with Quan. I do ask him the car question. I ask him what he's looking forward to when he gets home, and you get a little bit more of an insight into what it's like to be on the ground in Kyiv right now. Also, Patreon members, we're going to do a special Patreon members happy hour this Friday, March 25th at 8:30 Eastern. We haven't done one of these in a while, but join me on Zoom. Have a drink, meet some new friends. It's going to be Patreon members only this time. I'll do a broader one soon, but it's another reason you should join our Patreon community. I'm looking forward to it, and I hope you'll join us. We'll have some drinks. We'll tell some stories. We might have a special guest or two, but it's this Friday, March 25th at 8:30 Eastern. But please spread the word about everything we're doing, and please support us and go to the Apple Podcast Store and give us 5 stars. We've gotten a lot of great feedback on our Ukraine focus. Please continue to keep that feedback coming. Subscribe for free and share. Shut off the cable news crap and go deeper with us on Independent Americans. Righteous Media will continue to bring you the 5 Eyes in all of our podcasts and everything we do. Independence, integrity, information, inspiration, and impact. It's possible thanks to the Righteous Media team, creative Chris Rosenthal, brilliant Bill Schultz, and precise Paula Hernandez. And it's possible, of course, thanks to my wife and my two boys and my inspiring family. This weekend was my mom's birthday, her 75th birthday. So happy birthday to the woman who first taught me how to be a helper, my mom. She's still out there as a helper, 75 years old, and she still works as a nurse in a recovery center, helping people with addiction and trauma every day, giving back and helping others and continuing to inspire me and everyone she knows. She's a true helper. And her birthday was this weekend. Happy birthday, Ma. It was also the first day of spring. So the boys and I had a great night with her. We took her out for a special dinner. We had some treats. We had some singing. And we just had a great night with my mom. And on the way home, the boys and I were driving. And when we drive home from my mother's house, we pass Stewart Army Airfield in upstate New York. And sometimes when we're passing Stewart, big Army planes fly overhead. Blacked out. My kids know that if a plane's blacked out, it's probably military or police. And it happened just as we were talking about the Army and talking about Ukraine and talking about my friends that were there. It's a tough conversation to have with a six-year-old and a three-year-old that was basically asleep. And at one point, my son said to me, "Daddy, I don't want to go in the Army. I want to be a construction worker." And I teared up. And I was so proud of him. And I said, "Heck yeah, man, that's what we need. We need construction workers too. There are many ways to be helpers. And in Ukraine right now, they're going to need a lot of construction workers. And maybe one day my son will be a part of that crew that makes it happen." But spring is finally here. After the winter, there will always be spring. The geese are in the air. The flowers are blooming. It's been a long, hard winter, and there are hard days ahead. But after every winter, there will always be spring in the United States, around the world, and especially inside Ukraine. America is still divided. We see that especially in Congress after a nauseating week of their antics. But we at Independent Americans of Righteous Media are working to change that, and you're a part of it, adding light to contrast the heat of the other political and news shows. And if you're among that 42% of Americans who are independent, this is your show, especially around this issue. It's hard to find an issue that rallies more independent Americans than Ukraine right now. It's not a time for partisan hacks or for extremists. And if you're a Republican or a Democrat and you're not a diehard partisan, this is your show. If you're a concerned American or a concerned global citizen who cares about the future of your country, this is your show. All are welcome, and we invite you to be a part of this solution and be a part of this movement. Be sure to check out all our Righteous Media podcasts, especially Firefighters with Rob Serra and B-Dorm. You can subscribe to them wherever you got this pod or at righteous.us. And I hope you'll keep sharing the hope, because hope is the oxygen of democracy. And we need that oxygen right now more than ever, here and worldwide, and especially on the ground in Ukraine right now. You might be a techno fan. You might not be a techno fan. But that's a song that is very popular in Ukraine right now. And it's called "Russian Warship, Go Fuck Yourself." It's by Marcos Kalas and Beckard. And it's a techno song titled "Russian Military Boat, Go Fuck Yourself." It's getting a lot of play in Ukraine. And Valerie Hopkins from the New York Times, the Moscow correspondent that's in Ukraine, tweeted about it. And she says, "It's getting play all over the place. I hear it every morning at breakfast." You may remember from a previous episode, "Russian Warship, Go Fuck Yourself" was the last communication made by a soldier named Roman Grybov, who was on Snake Island on the 24th of February, 2022, when a Russian ship attacked the island. It's become a rally cry for Ukraine and for the world. And the phrase has now been commemorated on a postage stamp by the Ukrainian Postal Service. Grybov survived, and he has actually applied to trademark the slogan. So he continues to be brave and entrepreneurial. But this song and that rally cry is another example of the defiant spirit of Ukraine, the spirit that's also the true and founding spirit of America, and especially right now, of independent Americans. It holds that energy that will keep this movement of independent Americans growing week by week by week. It's the same kind of energy that's fueling the fight in Ukraine. And that energy is contagious. So stay vigilant, my friend, because eternal vigilance is the price of freedom. And that vigilance is thriving and spreading across Ukraine and around the world. Ukraine continues to inspire people and to show us all how to fight. And until it's over, we must support the fight and we must stay vigilant. And know you're not alone in your vigilance. We're all vigilant. And we're all in this together, especially now. All across America, all across Ukraine, and all around the world, we are all in this together. From the dehydrated children of Mariupol to Lincoln Park. From Salt Lake City to Kyiv, Ukraine. From Kuan Nguyen to you. I'm your host, Paul Rykov. Thanks for listening. Down with Putin. Slava Ukraine. Russian warship, go fuck yourself. And stay vigilant, America.
Powered by Righteous Media.